What do NASA, the Food and Drug Administration, and the FCC have that State Department lacks? Authorization by Congress. State hasn't been reauthorized since 2003. The National Weather Service has been on autopilot since 1993. My next guest argues appropriations without authorizations are no mere administrative detail. They let Congress avoid the crucial function of orderly policy. Rosalind Layton is a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and she joins me now in studio. Ms. Layton, good to have you on.
Great to be with you.
So this lack of authorization, first of all, give us a sense of how extensive it is, because when you told me, I was surprised at how little of the government is actually authorized.
Well, about 20 years ago, Congress appropriated about $35 billion, or 10% of the total budget, to programs and agencies that had lapsed in their authorization. Today, that number is up to 25% of our total budget, about $300 billion. Now, it's important to understand there are two steps going on here. One is appropriations. That is, every year, you know, every budget cycle, Congress goes through a process where they appropriate the money to the agency. But there's another step called authorization, because in order to have it, when you create a federal agency, there's a charter, a contract, if you will, but there's a charter with a scope of work associated with it. And it's not just about giving money every year, but you do have to go through a regular process to say, are you following the steps that we laid out to? And ideally, those things should go hand in hand.
Now, authorization is actually not in the Constitution, if I recall correctly, but it's something that was established as a tradition and a standard very early.
Right. Well, but any time you set up a new federal agency as part of the legislation that sets it up, there are generally regular reviews. So, you know, in their own ways, the agencies have to submit reports to Congress. They need to have oversight hearings and so on. But there is a very real step of Congress needing to renew the contract, if you will, with the agencies to whom it delegates.
And besides the State Department that we mentioned in the opening, what are some other biggies that lack authorization?
So you'd have the FBI, the Drug Enforcement Agency, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the Federal Elections Commission. Now, there's a real hot one that nobody wants to touch. I mean, what is going on, though, is, you know, so for a regulatory policy person like me, you'd say, well, of course we want to do this. We want to make sure the resources are expended wisely. If agencies are doing well, maybe they need more resources, maybe they need more staff, or there's better ways to do things. You can save some money, put it to other agencies. But what happens is interests get entrenched, so nobody wants to take that step because it might mean that some things would be cut, other things may be. So what happens then is the money just flows every year. There's never the step to say, hey, you didn't deliver, you know, we're going to cut some program or something like that.
Now, there is a pretty good amount of post facto review. I mean, they have the Government Accountability Office. There are inspectors general reports that make their way to Congress, and you have these oversight hearings, such as have been going on at the Veterans Affairs Department and famously happened at the State Department. But that doesn't go as far as reauthorization.
Well,
would.
The good thing that the GAO does, which is they compile the report, each successive report is showing us the rate of money that's flowing to agencies not authorized. So that number gets bigger with each report. So they at least provide the goal of calculating for Congress what they have left, what's on the to-do list that hasn't been done.
Why do you think Congress can't get this done? Why don't they authorize? That would seem to be easier than budgeting, or maybe not.
Yes, well, you're absolutely right. I mean, but this is an issue that cuts across both sides. I mean, that everybody has their favorite pet project. Now, what is interesting to say is there's some things people get on board about. NASA, that's the most loved place in the federal government. They have no problem getting all the money that they need. But what I'd say to you is, why would we make an agency if we don't want it? We still have to take the responsibility to review it and so on. It's I think it's a tool that should be looked at again and you know, that it's there. Now, there are some people in Congress who are very serious about this. Greg Walden in the House Commerce Committee, he has, for example, talked about this, and he's led the charge for the FDA reauthorization last year, very important, as well as a federal communications reauthorization.
We're speaking with Rosalind Layton. She's a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. And for the career workforce, I would think that authorization that is coupled with clear policy direction would maybe in some ways take the administration and its policy ways, would lessen the effect of having the administration swing back and forth with policy.
Of course.
Give some regularity to,
yes,
to
absolutely.
What it is they do.
Well, this is the whole point of checks and balances. I mean, we have, you know, our federal government today, we have some 400 agencies. Most of them are created by the president. And in many respects, if you're working at that, you know, your position is precarious, but the de facto world is, you know the money comes every year, you know, you have your job, and that's a kind of, one journalist, he calls it the zombie government. You know, you can't kill it, it'll never die, the money just flows every year. But how about, you know, for the rest of America, where we'd say, well, what are you doing with our tax dollars? What are we getting for our money? Now, not to say that these agencies, the people working, hardworking and not doing their job, but you should want to know that you are in a place where it's been fully authorized, that the scope of work is being reviewed, that you get that, if you will, performance review from Congress that says, hey, you're doing your job. That's what we elect the people in Congress to do.
And with respect to the authorization process, to what degree does the federal standing workforce have a role in that?
That's a good question.
I mean, can they at least advise Congress?
Well, so
certainly they don't have the authority.
Right. Well, so of course the agency heads, they would be involved with preparing, you know, when the authorization would go through, they would obviously be in conversation with Congress about, you know, reviewing the charter, how well are you fulfilling your scope of work, which we agreed, you know, answering questions, that sort of thing, similar to an oversight committee.
I guess in many ways, the worst example of what happens when there is no authorization, maybe we'll see that fixed now, is the FCC, because of the seesaw back and forth over the construction of net neutrality.
Sure.
And nobody can really speak for the nation, I guess, except Congress.
Right. Well, you know, that is that's a whole ball of wax in itself. I mean, that issue, the interesting thing, most of the FCC's work is bipartisan. It's widely agreed, you know, that there's a role for the FCC, what it does. But this particular issue is so hyper-politicized that the two sides, you know, the Democrats refuse to compromise, even though that there are bills that have been put forth for years. By the way, the 50 countries with net neutrality rules in the world today have all done them through legislation. So the tactic that's being tried in the United States, it doesn't stand up anywhere. Those places where that's been tried, it's been shot down by the courts. So if you want to make rules, new rules, you have to create those rules. You have to vest the proper authority in the agency. Now, why did the FCC try to do that? Well, they weren't being authorized. So the message basically is, we'll just send you money every year. You know, you can get, you know, so the agency heads, they get the idea, I'll get away with it. So they try.
So there could be greater continuity and in some sense greater, I guess, agreement.
Absolutely.
If Congress does it,
right,
and does the give and take that happens, right, or should happen in Congress.
Well, I mean, the way that I see it is it's something that both left and right should want. I mean, if you believe that there's a public sector and you would see that there's a role for Congress to review the performance, to appropriate the money and so on, you know, why wouldn't you want to have that process? We all go through that in business, in any area of our work life. Well, why wouldn't we expect that of our federal government?
Now, we understand that in the upcoming midterm elections, there are many, many, many contested seats. I haven't heard one candidate on either side run on the platform, I'm going to get back to reauthorizing federal agencies.
Well, so they may have it in their mind, but that's probably not a selling point. You would need to say, you know, you have to put that in a way that, ordinary voters would understand. But, you know, here's the part, you know, you'd say, are you getting value for your tax dollars, for example? You know, so just to put in perspective, I live much of the year in Denmark, which has a very large social sector, but extremely accountable and transparent. So people, they pay high taxes, but they know where their money goes. So it doesn't mean, you know, what you're trying to do is cut down government. You're trying to spend your resources wisely.
Rosalind Layton is a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom. That was a lot of fun.
We'll post this interview along with a link to her writing at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.